A magical meeting in the Siena province, from the TDN Look. I have always loved old churches, the kind you come across in rural towns in Europe where the stone stairs are worn with the footsteps of time, where you sit in the pews and imagine the centuries of souls who sat there before you, celebrating their joys, mourning their losses, and passing time in the quiet contemplation of life. More than any other place, they seem, to me, to be the places where history is housed. I had cause to think of this recently as I sat in the Pieve di Corsignano, the 12th century Romanesque stone church where Pope Pius II was baptized. Parts of it date back to the 800s, before Pius would develop the town up the hill from the church into what we know as Pienza today, naming it after himself. It is now the oldest existing planned city in the world and one of the most beautiful places you will ever visit. On this day, the church is not quiet. In fact, it is filled with the sorts of sounds you might have heard those many centuries ago. The sounds of chamber music, violins, string ensembles, and even dueling cellos with some of the most talented musicians in the world. The experience of sitting in this semi-darkened church overlooking the Val d'Orcia, one of Italy's most beautiful vistas, with just around 200 other people, and listening to this music is so profound and such a rare chance to focus in today's world full of distractions, that it leads me to start thinking about all of the things I value and enjoy in life. Travel, certainly, and history. Family, tradition, art, great food and fine wine, friendship, landscape, scenery, and beauty. And now, music. And so it occurs to me soon after that Antonio Lisi, a cellist and professor at UCLA, who grew up a stone's throw from this place where we sit today, has taken all of those things that we value in life and has managed to stir them all together in a pot and create one experience that combines so many elements of beauty that I struggle to write about it for fear of not doing it justice. That experience is the Incontri in Terra di Siena, a music festival that is, at its heart, about the best that life has to offer. A disclaimer, I'm not a music person. Not that I don't like music, I do, but I have never played an instrument or had a favorite composer, and until July, I had been to exactly one classical concert in my life, an outdoor recital by the Denver Symphony Orchestra when I was a child. It was magical, but I never went back. The Incontri in Terra di Siena, or Meetings in the Land of Siena, a classical musical festival which celebrated its 31st rendition this year, now has me wondering why. This year's festival is comprised of 8 concerts that take place over 9 days in different locations in the Siena province, most of them indoors, but some out. There are also book presentations and historical talks related to the area, and it is for the latter that I am present here. The festival is not solely about the history of its home, La Foce, or its founder, Antonio Lisi, but it would be remiss not to understand them in this context and as the main backdrop. La Foce was once a 7,500-acre estate, now about one-third that size, in central Italy, where 58 farming families once lived and worked, farming the land under the guidance of its owners, Iris and Antonio Origo, Lisi's grandparents. Origo is a celebrated literary figure who documented the changes she and her husband brought to the area, including hospitals, schools, literacy, modern farming techniques. In short, better lives. She also documented the intrusion of World War II into their world in a celebrated diary, War in Val d'Orcia, in which she described how the family struggled to keep the farm going, all while providing aid and sheltering displaced children and members of the Allied forces, including escaped POWs. I know from personal experience that there is no revisionist history here. My father was one of those she saved. That's La Foce's past. Today, still managed by the Origo family, it draws a steady stream of visitors from around the world who come to stay in its farmhouses, B&B, and villa apartments. Many, having read Origo's books, come to experience a place where such profound history occurred. Some come to get married in the iconic English garden. Others come for the music. When Lisi dreamed up the idea of the festival, La Foce was struggling through a difficult period. Like the rest of society, post-war Italy had seen a migration of laborers from farms to factories as the economic engine changed from farming to manufacturing. Lisi's grandparents were celebrated in the region, and Iris's books had created a curiosity about the estate. It occurred to Lisi that allowing the public inside through a concert series would be welcomed by all. He and his mother, Benedetta Arrigo, launched the festival in 1988.
My grandparents were very private. And of course, because of the war and one thing another, the reputation, it was just a secret place. A walled garden that no one really could get into. And so with time, more and more people started visiting, and I think the concerts had a lot to do with that.
At the same time, his mother, Benedetta, led the charge to rebuild the farmhouses as holiday rentals, profiting from the government's agriturismo movement to lure people to Italy for a Tuscan holiday. The result is a mix of history, culture, scenery, and landscape that would be hard to replicate. In fact, some of the world's top musicians cite those things as reasons to choose this festival over others. Lawrence Power is one of the world's foremost violists, a young musician based in London and in demand worldwide. On this night in Pienza, he joins the Caladori String Quartet in the medieval church to play Antonín Dvořák's String Quintet No. 3 in E major. Caladori, a likable, talented group of young musicians, have droned their own raves as well and are praised by critics for acting as one organism. "A miracle of unified thought," said one review. "The audience is riveted. No one checks their phone or watch, and I lean forward along with them as if to better see what will happen next. When they are finished, the applause is thundering." Jeremy Berry is Caladori's violist, a Juilliard graduate who lives in Manhattan and is attending his first incontri in 2019. Berry spends half the year on the road with the quartet, and he and the other musicians experience a range of performance atmospheres, from large venues to living rooms, and from impersonal hotel chains to what he finds here at the incontri. Here, at La Foce, the musicians stay together in the Chiarentana Villa apartments. Chiarentana is a separate and charming part of the estate managed by Iris's daughter Donata, also consisting of homes and apartments for rent.
I mean, there aren't too many places you come to that have scenery quite like this. Actually, there are zero other places. And also with all of the other musicians and fans that come to the concert and donors and everyone, it's just like a really tight-knit, fun family community type of feeling, which has been really pleasant. Especially as a Manhattan-based artist, when you're working to create, hopefully, this incredibly beautiful music, it's kind of hard to feel all of the fantasy and nuance that you need in the music when you're surrounded by this concrete jungle of car horns that wake you up at 6 in the morning every day and sirens. And you come to a place like this with other artists that are so tremendous, and it's just a really inspiring atmosphere to create from. So we do sometimes do play in venues this size, sometimes even smaller, like living rooms, or sometimes in large concert halls. That's kind of the fun of what we do, is it's completely different every time, and it actually causes us to play the music quite differently. It's just an amazing appreciation that you do. A concert really is a two-way street, and you kind of, I don't know if it's subconscious cues that you're picking, physical cues from the audience that you pick up or what it is exactly, but you really feel the energy, and if you're holding the audience, or maybe in some cases if you've maybe lost a few people, but here there's just really been a palpable appreciation and excitement, I would say.
Lisi said that he worked from the start to create that atmosphere, not just by attracting top talent, but by inviting collaborative musicians who are, in a word, nice. That creates not only a good atmosphere, he said, but better music. This philosophy is also shared passionately by the current artistic director, Alessio Bax, a distinguished prize-winning Italian concert pianist living in New York.
And we sort of mastermind sort of a harmony.com kind of thing with the musicians, because it's really an intricate business getting the right people. Just one person can make a group not quite work. And then it's not as if we're paying them a lot of money to come here, but we offer them practically everything else at the highest standards: the concert, the music making, the accommodation, the food, and just being here with the people that they want to spend time with. So it becomes a residence, and they never want to leave. The audience witnesses that. They see the crowning efforts in the concerts.
Saturday night's concert is held at the Chiesa di Sant'Andrea, a medieval church in the village of Castiglioncello del Trinoro, a town so charming that American attorney Michael Cioffi has purchased most of it to ensure its survival, remodeling the ancient homes into luxury accommodations under the name of Monteverdi Tuscany. The town is perched at the top of a hill overlooking the Val d'Orcia and was down to 9 inhabitants when Cioffi first came here. It is now a quiet but thriving hub of cultural activity and exceptional dining. Benjamin Bielman is a 29-year-old solo violinist who has been called monstrously talented by the Philadelphia Inquirer and muscular with a glint of violence by the New York Times. He is, above all, compelling to watch. On this night, Bielman has a prominent duo collaboration with Alessio Bax, and that muscular violence is on display. I sit in the back of the darkened space as a thunderstorm rages outside the church doors and watch the audience watch them, and they are nothing less than stunned at their performance.
Most of what we do in classical music obviously resides in, like, you know, the 18th, 17th century, some 19th century. So kind of getting back into those places, or places where a lot of, you know, that music was composed or during that period, that's huge. But then feeling like you're connected to people who deeply, deeply want to hear it. You feel it both as you're playing, but obviously after. And also because those people are so close to you, just in proximity, you can immediately tell the expression of people if they're kind of shifting around in their chair, if they're looking at the program, if they're kind of like looking at their watch. You know when they're sitting completely still, and you can feel that kind of electricity in the air if they're constantly focused on you. It makes a huge difference. I mean, what we do in the practice room is very important, but ultimately the quality of a performance is only as good as what the attention of the audience provides.
Bielman, like other in-demand musicians, has the privilege of what to choose on the summer festival circuit, and like Barry, he cites the landscape of the Val d'Orcia as one of the major draws of the Incontri.
The most immediate thing that stands out is just the terrain and the surroundings and like the sheer natural beauty. That's a huge part. You know, summer has so many weeks, and for musicians who are in relatively high demand, you can sort of have your pick of where you want to go. And of course, Tuscany is kind of a huge thing. Being here and experiencing a lot of the concerts, I think it's also the dedication of the audience members, this kind of very intimate, you know, ancient church packed with people is a very special feeling.
Saturday's performance, as well as Sunday's final one on my visit, also features solos from the world-renowned Croatian-born French horn soloist Radovan Blatkovic. He has been to the Incontri in the past and has formed a strong bond with Lisi and Bax. He's a soft-spoken, interesting, and worldly person with a kindly air, and as I listen to him play, I can hear the stories that his passionate embrace of the music tells. As they seem to be at the conclusion of all of the performances, the audience are overcome, as am I. Blatkovic talked to me about the Incontri. On my first visit 2 years ago, I visited the gardens at La Foce, he said, and was told part of the story, and also acquired books by Iris Arrigo. We feel the sense of tradition and continuity through the work of Antonio's family, with whom he started the festival. Certainly, Iris Arrigo's presence is felt through her books and this unique estate, which is her and her husband's legacy. As traveling musicians, there is indeed a strong sense of solidarity, bond, and mutual support, he said. At festivals, we go through a short but very intense period which sometimes seem between dream and reality. The memories stay forever. And so, the ITS continues to be a place for artistic encounter and inspires us to make our humble contribution for a better and more humble world. As I listen to Vlatkovic, I realize that Lisi's apple hasn't fallen far from his grandmother's tree. It's the last night of the concert, and Vlatkovic has finished performing. He stands behind the back row of the last aisle of the audience in the old Granaio at La Foce, where tonight's indoor concert has been moved due to inclement weather. The change in venue means that every last space is taken up by the audience. Bielman, Annabella Meir, Lisi, Power, and the Calidori String Quartet are closing the concert with George Enescu's Octet for Strings in C, and it's jaw-dropping. As the audience delivers a loud and thundering ovation, Vlatkovic stands with the rest of them cheering. He catches my eye, raising one eyebrow as he shakes his head and smiles to acknowledge the incredulity we both feel. I may not know a lot about music, but I know that what I have just seen is something extraordinary. For the TDN Look, this is Sue Finley.